You're listening to Midlife Side Quest, the over-the-hill gaming podcast. Here's your host, John Wall.
It's May 28th, 2026, and welcome to episode 184 of Midlife Side Quest, the over-the-hill video game podcast. I'm your host, John Wall, and every Thursday morning I bring you 15 minutes of video game impressions, industry news, and tales of a Gen X geek. Thank you very much for tuning into the show today. On this week's episode, I'm going to be talking about Dungeons & Dragons. Now, I don't know if you're familiar with this game, but it seems to be kind of nifty, and I think it might really catch on with the kids. As always, though, let's kick things off with a look at the news. The Witcher 3 is officially getting a third expansion, Songs of the Past. This story comes from VGC. 11 years after the game originally came out, The Witcher 3 Wild Hunt is getting a brand new chapter in 2027. Quote, Songs of the Past will return players to the role of legendary monster slayer Geralt of Rivia for a brand new adventure when it launches in 2027 on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X and S, and PC, an announcement reads. It goes on to say, CD Projekt Red is co-developing the expansion with Fool's Theory, a team comprising industry veterans who worked on The Witcher 3. More details on Songs of the Past will be released in late summer 2026. Dispelling expectations that it would reveal the long-rumored expansion in an anniversary live stream, which is happening later this week. CD Projekt Red is currently working on multiple Witcher projects, including The Witcher 4, a remake of The Witcher 1, and a multiplayer game set within the Reacher universe. So, Witcher 3 originally came out back in 2015, and that was my first year as a content creator, and it was number 3 on my Game of the Year list that year. If you're curious, it was beaten out by Rise of the Tomb Raider and the original Life is Strange. So it's kind of amazing that they're coming out with another expansion over a decade later. Now I just got to decide if I'm going to actually restart that game from the beginning so that I have any clue what's going on, or just jump right into the expansion. So a couple of episodes ago, I shared the story about how I went over to a neighbor's house one evening and accidentally got overly stoned. Remember, kids, don't try out new THC drinks in social situations. Drink one at home first so you know how it feels. Anyway, this unexpected level of impairment led to me agreeing to join their ongoing Dungeons & Dragons campaign. Now, the problem was that I have never played D&D in my life, not once. So I had a lot of homework to do. Now, it's not like I had like zero idea what happens in a game of D&D. I had, you know, some peripheral knowledge that I had learned from, you know, playing various video games or watching Stranger Things. You know, I knew that it was a role-playing game that relied heavily on improvisational storytelling and dice rolls. I knew a bit about the world and its creatures. You know, I've seen the latest movie, which is really good, and of course the 80s cartoon, less good. I just didn't know mechanically how everything worked, you know, what each of the stats and the numbers represented, you know, what does it mean to roll for initiative? I had no clue, but I had a few weeks to learn. I did some studying ahead of time, and my neighbor came over one afternoon to give me a crash course on how things worked and where they were in the campaign, which was very nice of him. The most important thing I had to do right off the bat was going to be coming up with a character and figuring out how he would slip into a story that was already in progress. Luckily, I think of myself as fairly creative, and I had a decent idea of what I wanted to do. The idea for my character was basically a garden gnome slash John Wick. His name is Zindar Nettlebush, and he lived a very quiet life on his farm with his wife and his four children. His days were spent tending to his crops and selling his goods at the market in town and just generally minding his own business. He never got involved in any of the happenings of the town folks. He left them alone and he expected to be left alone in return. One day, though, while he was at the market, a group of bandits came through and attacked the farm, stealing anything of value and burning their home to the ground. When he returned home, the bandits were all gone, and his entire family was dead. With only a neighbor's description of the bandit leader, a one-eyed man with silver hair, Zindar left his farm behind and dedicated his life to hunting down and killing every one of the bandits responsible. So, after spending a night in jail for crossing the local authorities while hunting down one of the bandits, Zin meets the other members of the party, the other players, at the local pub. And after sharing a few pints of ale, they agree to travel together, as, you know, they were both headed in the same general direction. So, that was how things kind of kicked off. That was his story. So, being that this was a campaign that had already been going on for a while, the DM started me off at the same level that the others were at and gave me some random items and gear and gold to get started. The biggest challenge for me, and something that I think will get easier after I've played a few times, is just memorizing all of the gameplay elements and the terminology without having to have my nose stuck in my character sheets or a rule book the entire time. You know, like the difference between a natural 20 and a dirty 20. I had never heard that term before. Or how a saving throw works, you know. I think I got better as the night went on. You know, I was referencing my materials less frequently. My improv skills will also hopefully improve the more I play. For example, that night we were up on a snowy mountain and we had been tasked with training these goblin archers in exchange for some information. And we came across at one point this magical pole that drew us all in and tempted us to stick our tongues to it. You've seen A Christmas Story. So all of us are stuck to this pole except for one of the goblins who didn't do it. And what was my suggestion? Why not have the goblin piss on all of our faces? you know, the warmth of his urine should be enough to get us unstuck, right? I thought it was a decent idea, but another member of the party suggested, you know, just using the warm ale or beverage that we had brought in an insulated flask to keep us warm. Yeah, in retrospect, that was maybe the better option. But for a first time, you know, I think I did pretty decent. You know, we killed some polar bears. Negotiated peacefully with a dragon to let us live, and survived a really cool fight on a frozen lake as the ice cracked and broke underneath anyone who stood on it for too long. And we all made it back in one piece. I was only nearly killed once, and I think that's pretty dang good. And honestly, I did have a lot of fun. I was nervous about being lost and confused, but I had a good time. D&D has always been a bit of an enigma for me, but I get it now. It's a, you know, it's a fun night of hanging out with some new friends, eating food, and role-playing as a revenge-seeking killer garden gnome with a possible pee fetish. That's a solid Saturday in my book. state of the world today, you'd be excused for being a bit pessimistic, you know, for maybe thinking that everybody out there is only in it for themselves and nobody wants to be kind or help one another. I've certainly felt that way a fair amount in the last couple of years, but I wanted to end the show with a story as a sort of counter argument to that. So my son graduates high school this week. Yeah. And we've got one of those signs in our yard that says class of 26, such and such high school. You know, you've seen those. The schools usually sell them and the money goes to, yearbooks or graduation events. There's also a sign for the art school that he's attending this fall. So this last weekend, I got up in the morning and was standing at my front window, drinking my coffee and, you know, doing a little bird watching. And I saw something pinned to the sign. There was like a envelope that was like clipped to the sign. And again, given the state of the world, my first thought was, oh, crap. So my wife goes out and she grabs the envelope and opens it. Turns out it was from an anonymous neighbor. It was addressed to my son and said, we've never met, but I graduated from the same high school in 1978. And it went on to say that, they went into the arts as well, and that the school he's attending is an amazing school, and congratulations and good luck. And in the card, there was a $20 bill. No signature, no name, just somebody who saw the signs in her yard and wanted to do something nice for a complete stranger. It's a fairly, you know, small gesture, but the way that it made us all feel was remarkable. It's easy to lose faith sometimes in people, especially right now. So getting a reminder that people can still be kind and generous and giving without any expectation of return or reward was pretty amazing. So thank you, anonymous jewelry designer in their mid-60s. You made our weekend. Thank you for listening to Midlife Side Quest. I appreciate you making time in your day to hang out with me. You can catch a new episode every Thursday morning wherever you listen to podcasts, and you can support the show by subscribing and leaving a review. Until next time, I'm your host, John Wall. Have a great rest of your week, and don't forget to save.